We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Dave McKinnon joins us right now, the Red Sox hitting coach. Good to see you.
It's good to be here.
I guess we got to start with this lineup when you look at it. I guess it's safe to say that some guys right now are off to tremendous starts and hitting really well. And other guys seem to be really struggling right now that you sit there and say, wait till they start, you know, lighting it up a little bit.
Well, that's what we're going to say. you like to have everybody hot at the same time, but, you know, that's baseball. It's a long season, and, you know, we're, you know, 25% of the season, and we're not going to panic by any stretch of the imagination right now. Guys are working hard, and hopefully they'll come around.
Dave, how much of that is, do you think, confidence versus – guys just getting some type of rhythm into a groove, into a timing?
Well, I think early on in the season, the weather was so bad, and that was kind of the culprit with some of the guys. But now that the weather's nice, you know, like take, for instance, J.D. Drew. He's in a new league. He's facing a lot of new pitchers. He's really getting pitched a lot differently than he did in the National League. So he's got to make his adjustment with that. And with Manny, it's just a matter of time. You know, the track record's there, and sooner or later he's going to start hitting like he's capable of.
Dave, like J.D. Drew, you came over from the National League having worked for the Padres for a number of years in their organization. I'm wondering if you could expand on that a little bit. People think with interleague play, uniform umpiring crews and everything that there really isn't much difference between the two leagues. What are you seeing different as a hitting coach? What is J.D. see different as a hitter?
Well, he's getting a lot of off-speed pitches. Not that they were just grooving fastballs for him in the National League, but he's getting a lot of hitters count off-speed pitches, lefties and righties. He's getting a lot of change-ups. They're making good pitches on him right now, and a lot of it, you know, some of it he's got to take responsibility for that too. You know, he's kind of getting outside the strike zone, which is not his, you know, his strength is being patient and waiting for his pitch. So, you know, that it happens with any hitter. You know, when you're struggling, you tend to get a little more impatient. You get outside the zone a little bit more. But, you know, as far as the differences, I think that's the biggest difference. And it's familiarity with everything. You know, the clubhouses, the fields, the stadiums, you know, moving your family cross country. There's a lot of things that come into that, and J.D.'s going through it right now.
How about you? What are you seeing in terms of how different, not just pitcher, you know, approach from pitchers, but also – how deep the lineups are over here, the presence of the DH, you know, maybe the focus on the bigger innings. Do all those things still hold true over here? And how does that change your job being a hitting coach in the National League and being one over here?
Well, I think obviously I'm a proponent of being patient at the plate and seeing a lot of pitches, and we've certainly done a good job of that this year. I think the times that we've tended to not put a lot of runs on the board are the times where the pitchers are throwing strikes and they're you know, they're not nibbling as much. And we saw that the other night with Robertson, where he wasn't really getting the pitches a little bit off the plate. He was in the 100-pitch count in the fifth inning, and we got in their bullpen and broke the game open. So certainly in the American League, you've got the DH in there. You've got, capability of having the big inning. The 3-4-5 guys can tend to nibble a little bit at the plate, and you can run some deep pitch counts and get those guys out in the fifth. That's a big plus for us.
Dave, did Drew have any reputation or history of streakiness at all in the National League? And I mean that in the extreme sense. You hear guys described as streaky hitters. Was he a streaky hitter to anything that you know?
I think, you know, we've talked about it before, and I think he went through a period in St. Louis where he got off to a real bad start. In Los Angeles, I believe it was 2 years ago, he got off to a real bad start. I know when the first time we played them in San Diego, he was hitting, you know, .120. So, but then the next time we saw him, he was up near .300. So that certainly lends itself to being streaky, but he's just a good hitter, you know. But just like any other hitter, when you're going through bad times, like I said before, you're going to expand the zone a little bit. You're trying to get two hits and one at bat, and you get a little impatient up there, and you get yourself out more than anything.
Dave, you said you were a proponent of being patient at the plate, and obviously that's a philosophy throughout this entire organization right now. How difficult is it to take a guy who's been very aggressive at the plate? And I think of Coco Crisp, who was very aggressive, and obviously that was one thing they wanted to work on and one thing that you have to work with them on right now. How difficult is it in taking a guy that feels comfortable being very aggressive and going for that first pitch and maybe backing him off and teaching him to be patient?
Well, I mean, we're going through it right now. Coco had a lot of success in Cleveland, being very aggressive at the plate. But, you know, just like anything else, pitchers make adjustments to you. And if they know you're going to chase outside the zone, they're not going to throw the ball, you know, in the strike zone as often. And I think what he's going through right now is he's getting himself out a lot. Last night was a good example. He was in a hitter's count, 3-1 on Verlander, and swung at two fastballs up and out of the zone. And he's got to learn, and he's working at it, but he's got to learn to kind of scale it down a little bit, and you know, think of a walk as a good thing. It's not a bad thing. You know, he's sitting at the bottom of the lineup for the most part, and if he can help turn the lineup over and get the big boys up more often, he's going to help us win some games.
Dave, how about Manny Ramirez? For I think the third straight year, he's had kind of a slow start here. He's gotten it up to 250 lately.
Can't blame it on you.
You know, this condition existed before you.
Sure,
so
sure you won't.
So you're off the hook.
Him but, especially, trust me.
But what are you seeing with Manny? Why is he not providing the kind of production that we've seen that he's capable of and probably will be able to deliver later? Anything that seems mechanically out of whack, or what do you see with Manny?
I think what he experienced coming out of spring training, he was trying something a little different with his hands. He was holding them a little lower and away from his body, and he was finding that he wasn't getting inside the ball. He was having trouble doing that. So we made that adjustment 2 weeks into the season, and he got on a little bit of a hot streak. But, you know, he's experiencing much of what I said about JD. You know, when you're not getting your hits, when you're not driving the ball the way you know that you can, you start getting outside the strike zone. And when pitchers know that Manny's going to chase outside the zone, they're going to follow suit, and they're not going to throw him anything he can hit. So he's got to be he's got to have that attitude where I'm going to take the walk and pass the buck to the other guy, and you know, that's how big innings start.
Of the some of the lesser known guys that were here before you came over, has there been anybody that's surprised you, caught your eye as being maybe, boy, that guy's a better hitter than I even thought he was? Or
well, the one that comes to mind is Youkilis. He's more or less a hitting coach's dream because he grinds out every at-bat. He doesn't give away an at-bat. No matter what the score is, he's gonna see some pitches. He's going to make the pitcher work to get him out. He hits the ball hard most of the time, and he's just a grinder. And that, for me, as a hitting coach, is great because he sets a great example for the guys that are in the minor leagues coming up, seeing – you know, the right way to do things. So he's been a pleasant surprise.
Is he the kind of guy that requires or much tinkering? Does he rely on you a lot, or is he pretty self-policing?
Well, both. I mean, he's very approachable. Anytime I go up to him and tell him anything, he receives it. He processes it, and he's going to make the necessary adjustments. He's not the type of hitter that's going to wait a week to make an adjustment. If it feels kind of funky to him, or he's going to get in the cage, he's going to work it out, he's going to make the adjustment the next day, if not during that game itself.
Cora's been already known as a terrific utility player, but this year, for some reason, he has just been so much better at the plate. What is he doing differently up there?
Well, there were two things we talked to him about in spring training, and one of the things kind of correlates to Dave Roberts, because when I had Dave in San Diego, I saw him when he was in L.A., and I think Dave was a hitter that was kind of worried too much about walking and lost a lot of his aggressiveness, even in hitter's counts. He was looking to walk instead of doing some damage with his bat. And when I got David right away, I told him, hey, listen, you've got some pop in your bat. You get in hitter's counts. I want you to stay in the strike zone, obviously, but look to do some damage. And you know, the rest is history. He had, you know, two really good years with us in San Diego, so that's exactly what I told Alex in spring training. I saw him in L.A. where he hit 10 home runs, drove the ball a little bit. And I saw him as that hitter back then. But when I saw a video of him the last couple years here, you know, he was a guy that was looking to just kind of, you know, work the count too much, not look to drive the ball, trying to hit the ball the other way a little bit too much, even in hitter's counts. And I told him to, you know, get up there and you know, you can swing the bat. You've got some strength. You've got some pop in your bat. Look to drive the ball. Then you worry about, you know, the other things when you've got two strikes and kind of being a little more defensive at the plate. But and then the second thing we talked to him about is standing up a little bit taller. You know, he's not the biggest guy in the world. It helps him stay above the ball, hit down and through the ball, and you know, he's been great ever since.
Terrific. As Glenn mentioned, there's been so much emphasis put on base percentage, walks, et cetera. How do you balance that, and how do you teach guys to balance that? Because obviously you just named two guys who you want to swing more, not less.
Well, there's a fine line that you've got to walk. I mean, the ultimate goal is to get a good pitch to hit, and if it's the first pitch, then you've got to be ready to swing. I mean, you can't go up there thinking I'm going to take till it's a strike. You've got to be up there thinking I'm swinging at every pitch till it's a ball. And that's kind of the way Alex was going about it. That's the way Dave Roberts, I thought, was going about it. When you're hitting like that, that split second of doubt or defensiveness can get you beat by a pretty good pitch to hit. So we want our guys to be aggressive, but aggressive on pitches that they can handle.
Do you think the kind of hitter you were helped set the stage for you to be able to teach that more patient approach? As a corner infielder, you were not the guy that would deliver 30 home runs as first and third base guys often do.
I delivered 30 over my career.
It just took a little longer getting there. But did that make it easier for you to – because it came, I don't want to say naturally, but that was your style. So is it easier for you to pass that on to hitters because it's the way you approach the game?
Well, surely I've got experience in doing it, and that's the type of player that I was. The story I just related to you about Dave Roberts is something that I went through as a hitter. You know, I there were times when I went up there kind of thinking too much about walking. I knew a guy was wild, and, you know, I knew he wasn't probably going to hit his spots, and I went up there a little bit defensive, and those are the times that I got in trouble. So there's certainly things from your career that you can kind of pick from and relate it to a player and help them understand what you're trying to get them to do, and that's what I try.
You had that low strikeout rate. Let me talk about a guy who's going to be playing tonight, Willy Mopeña. Is it difficult for him, and it's frustrating to watch, because one night he teases you with a home run that you think is, if it doesn't hit something, it's going to continue to go about 800 feet, and then the next night he gets three just horrible strikeouts. Is it difficult for him in that he doesn't get enough opportunity to play? He didn't have that normal minor league career, that he's been unable to really learn this stuff properly?
Well, I continue to be surprised by these guys that get drafted and their agents push for them to get big league contracts and really try and get them to the big leagues as quick as possible, because to me it retards their development. I mean, there's nothing like getting 1,000, 1,200 minor league at-bats to hone your skills, to get used to playing every day and the adjustments you got to make from day to day. And certainly what Willie's gone through over the course of his career has been tough. And certainly here, where he's not getting everyday playing time, and, you know, he's got a big swing. But, you know, the one thing I noticed when I looked at his video this winter was it's a fairly compact stroke. He's got very good power to right center, which – those things should be conducive to not striking out as much, you know, especially if you're facing a right-handed pitcher that's got a pretty good breaking ball. He should still be able to stay on the ball and drive it to right field. And I think a lot of his struggles, especially with right-handed pitching, is that he doesn't get to play every day. He's not in there seeing. It's like the backup quarterback that's got the clipboard for 3 years. Yeah, he's learning, he's watching, he's doing all those things, but there's nothing that can replace being in the heat of the battle and making your adjustments from day to day, and that's, I think, is the biggest culprit with
you. You got to make your mistakes someplace, and unfortunately, if you make them in the big leagues, they're not going to send you out there every day.
Yeah. Especially here.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Let me ask you about Dustin Pedroia, because so many people referred to him probably because of the body type. David Eckstein, they said, it's David Eckstein. Of course, he's got that compact swing. Dustin comes up here, he's got a big sweeping swing. When you first saw that, did you have any inclination at all to change it? He had been successful with it, but had you had any inclination to change it?
No, I didn't want to change his swing. I just wanted to get him a little more under control. You know, I think when he gets his stride gets big, his head is bobbing. You know, it's kind of like running after a fly ball and your head is bouncing all over the place. It's hard, you know, hard to focus on the baseball. It's the same thing at the plate. When your head is moving all over the place, it's hard to really have good pitch selection. I think when he got up here, he got a little bit bigger in his stride. He got a little bit more violent, and in turn, his swing got a little more uphill. And what I've really tried to do with Dustin is to just kind of keep himself a little more under control when he strides. Go ahead and swing hard. I'm not as concerned with that. I'm more concerned with what he does prior to the swing, because if he gets in such a bad position in his stride and his setup, then it really doesn't matter what his swing does. He's not going to be able to drive the ball. So we've tried to get him a little more under control in the stride, in the setup, and keep him a little more above the baseball. His stride gets big. His head kind of sinks into his body, and he's kind of swinging uphill at everything. He already gets pitched up enough as it is. When his head is really sinking into his body, then it's really tough for him to get on top. And even if he hits it good, it's up in the air, and they end up running it down. So he's a line drive hitter. We're just trying to concentrate on that.
It's been
Dave,
working.
Who taught you how to hit?
My dad.
Yeah. And was he, even after you turned pro, was he the biggest influence on you in terms of?
Yeah. You know, my dad, you know, he was one of those dads where I was playing in Lynchburg, Virginia, and he hadn't seen me play the whole summer, and I told him what I did at the plate, and he can tell me what I did wrong on the phone. He didn't even see me play or swing or anything.
Yeah, fathers are like that.
Yeah. So, you know, if I grounded out the second, now you're pulling off the ball. You know?
They're all right, though, when you ask him to mow your lawn for you. Trust
me. But, he was obviously a big influence on me, and he really instilled on me at, you know, getting a good pitch to hit the ball to all fields, and it stayed with me.
Was there anyone that that you sort of tried to emulate or watched as a hitter and said, this is the kind of guy that I want to be, you know?
Not really. You know, we had a pretty good system with the Mets, and they were big on being yourself, and you know, they didn't really try and tinker with me, even though through the minor leagues I didn't hit for any power, but they were saying, you know, just leave him alone, let him hit. And then I got to the big leagues, and they wanted me to hit for power all of a sudden. So it was kind of strange that way, but I just tried to be myself, and hopefully it was enough.
Dave, this team goes back to San Diego in about 5 weeks. You were unceremoniously let go there last mid-season. Bruce Bochy wasn't happy about that. He's moved on. There are some people still left. Will that be funny for you to go back there with this team in that environment?
It's going to be strange. You know, I spent 7 years in San Diego with that organization, and I still have a lot of good friends over there. And even though I was fired in the middle of the season, I remained on good terms with the front office. And it was an absolute shock. I won't lie to you. And it took me a while to get over it. But, you know, I'm looking forward to going back there. I'm, you know, like I said, I got a lot of friends still there, and I still keep in touch with a lot of guys over there.
Well, Dave, it's good to have you here in Boston, and thanks for coming out in the outfield here and spending some time with us and talking some hitting.
Thanks for having
Appreciate
me.
It. Dave Magadan is here on the
lot,
Big Show.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.